The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Today, believe it or not, is the 30th of May, 2017. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check out the brand new product, Winner's Circle. Those are 12 modules of me starting from the very beginning, right through the dips, pullovers, power rack training, dead stop training, sandbags, stones, thick bar training. You name it, it's all on there, reasonably priced, and I'll tell you right now, I did everything audio-wise for a few reasons. Number one, I've become now more than ever a believer in education. I mean, that's where my background and my family's from. I've been around a lot of educators, let me tell you, in my life, and I totally believe video is great, but the problem with video is, once you get video, you're not going to listen to the education usually, because human beings will usually go after something visually, which I'm not saying would not come with it, but the way I explain the product, it's like I'm right in the room with you. So check that out. And one big thing that you're going to see with this, if you purchase this product right now, we have four people on here that are going to give an hour of their time. One is Martin Janzicks, David Whitley, Douglas Graham, and Dr. William Wong. Right there is big time worth it just for the product, because I don't know what they charge per hour, any one of those gentlemen, but you're going to get a freebie with any of the four you choose when you buy the product. So go out there, check it out, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, Winner's Circle. That is the name of the product. Also, too, I put up two pages in the last few months, Etched in Stone, which is going to be a product for men that is sitting there ready to go. We're doing one for women, and I put an Etched in Stone page for kids, where we're going to do a big product by the end of the summer for that. I would tell you to go out and look at it. And anybody that's involved in this strength genre, I don't care. You don't necessarily have to lift a stone, but if you're doing something very pertinent, if you're doing something with kids, send it. Because I'm telling you right now, we are just building on top of building. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got our good friend Jed Johnson on today, and we're going to bring him in momentarily. But just go out and look at all the shows he and I have done. Go out and figure out what it would cost just to get that information between the two of us, what we've exchanged with one another just in the last year. It's like with everybody here, it's just phenomenal amounts of deep, deep material. We've got over 680 podcasts already in over 2 years, which is phenomenal right there. It's something that you really need to look into. Also, too, we're raising money. You can call it donations. I see it all over these other websites asking money to support their podcast. Well, we're in a very tight situation right now. And we are asking for donations to the show. When you've got this many shows, this is a big nut to pay for every month. I have never bitched or anything about it, but I'm almost through my life savings now. And I want to, and I will. This stuff's going to keep going no matter what. If I got to go work 10 jobs, I'll do it. Because when you love something, you stay with it. And that's one thing you should be listening to and learning here. When you love something, you stay with it. And it's not today. It's not tomorrow. It's not 25 years from now. It's to the day they put my ass right into the ground. So if you'd like to contribute, go out to my PayPal account, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. Lots of great things coming. Stick with us. But we would like to have some contributions if you can do it. And we thank you for that. As I said, we got Jed Johnson on with us today. And I'm going to give you some information on this gentleman. Number one, he is a speaker, performing strongman, 3-time national grip strength champion. And before I bring Jed in, I'm going to talk about a little bit what we're going to talk about today, which is going to be very interesting stuff, because we always have some good stuff. We're going to talk about the Nationals that will be in on June 3rd, which is this coming weekend already, if you can believe that. And we're going to talk about his quest to hit a 405 bench press, which for anybody that knows out there, bench press performed correctly is a brutally big, muscular producing program. So, Jed, welcome back, brother.
Hey, man. Thanks a lot for having me on. Dude, how many shows have we actually done together, bro? I've lost count. It's got to be up around 10 by now.
Yeah, easily. I'll next time you come on, I'll look through and see what we got. There's easily 10 out there, because you figure at one point with everybody, I was doing 1 to 2 a month with them. Obviously, we slowed down a little bit. But we know right now, I know you were pretty much on all of 16. So I got to figure, unless something happened, we could potentially have 12 or more out there. But I will get a figure for you. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, with all the genius of everybody that's on here, with all of the work that's been done and keeps getting done, and, you know, you look at your goals, my goals, everybody else around, I mean, it's like, see, the thing I like about this more than anything, Jed, is this. You're getting practical experience. You're not getting some nutbag on Facebook that is telling you to do this, this, and this, has never even done it. Or, you know, they're saying, well, this worked for me, so it'll work for anybody. I mean, we're all over the map. I mean, I know that one of your main thing here is obviously grip work, but you're doing arm work, you're doing bench work, you're doing all kinds of stuff, man. And that's what I like about all this, and that's what I like about when you're on and anybody else. It's like we're talking about what we're doing right now and what we're dealing with. That's what people really need to hear. But on that note, give out your website, please, and anything I missed, and we're going to get – let's start right in for the Nationals this coming weekend with you.
Yeah, buddy. My website is dieselcrew.com. Just had a big Memorial Day sale, so everybody's missing it that's listening right now. But a lot of people grabbed some good product. Just got them all sent out. Cool. The rest of them today. That was a good thing. It was nice over the weekend, bro. I was able to spend pretty much the entire weekend with my daughter.
Yep.
Me and her, because my wife and my stepdaughter went out to Ohio to see my stepdaughter's boyfriend's graduation.
Nice.
So we got to spend some real nice time together. So it was a really, really good weekend. And then we topped it all off with Memorial Day. We had a little cookout and, you know, just spending time with family. That's what it's all about, buddy. So
it sure is. And you know, not enough people do it. And, you know, I don't know about you, unfortunately, in the Northeast, I don't know what's going on, but we are caught in rain like I've never seen before. And this has been going on for over a month. It's even raining again today. It rained all yesterday. It's dark. Tomorrow we're supposed to see the sun. Doesn't matter, man. You put your feet on the ground, you get out of bed and live it. But I know there's a lot of people suffering right now with the gloom and doom, they call it. And the only thing I'm upset about, I can't control, is by now my garden would have been in 3 weeks by now with the cold stuff. This year is probably going to be a very short garden, because I can't even get in and till it this year. It's just too damn wet. And, you know, when you got rain every day, Jed, you can only do so much. But that's another show. Let's get into the Nationals coming this Saturday. What's going on with it? What are you going to be participating in? And give everybody a little bit of a breakdown of it, if you would, please.
Yeah, buddy, it's we call it Nationals. It's actually the North American Grip Sport Championship.
Okay.
So the North American Grip Sport is kind of our organization for the overall championship in North America. So we have lots of contests, probably, you know, between 12 and 20 contests in the United States every year. And then there's been an increased number of competitions that take place in Canada every year. I think it was up to like 4 or 5 at this point now. So a lot of those, you're able to qualify for Nationals based on either how well you do in your weight class, or if you hit certain numbers on the lifts that you do, you can qualify with those lifts. You can also qualify just in your gym training. You hit certain numbers, as long as you're using the right equipment.
Okay.
So since since 2012, Nationals has been in June. So this weekend, it's going to be taking place in Nashville for the first time. From 2012 to 2016, it was at Andrew Derniat's gym, who I know you've had him on here several times.
Yep.
And so he, I believe now he's kind of working on a lot of ultra marathon stuff, triathlon stuff, Ironman type training. So he wasn't able to commit to running Nationals this year, so he handed it over to a guy named Gil Goodman, who's been very active down in Nashville, along with his girlfriend Maria Becetta. These guys are like the tag team champions of the world when it comes to grip sport, because they hold a lot of competitions. They have a grip centered business, and they've done a lot to help grow the sport. They're also both on the NAGS committee now. Okay. So it's the first year in Nashville. It'll be my first time down to Nashville, and I got to be honest with you, I'm dreading the drive. It's a 14-hour drive from my place down there. So I'm going to actually make that trip over 2 days. Mm-hmm. And the contest will be on Saturday. There's four events. Normally there's five events. I don't know why there's not five events this year, but there's four events this year.
Yep.
In standard Nationals fashion, we're going to start off with a max gripper attempt with your right hand and left hand.
Yep.
And then, so that's the first event. What's cool is, you know, grippers vary quite a bit. So, like, you can buy, say, a number three gripper from Ironmind.
Sure.
And one number three might be a certain strength level. Another number three might be a little bit or a lot harder or easier. So, for Nationals, we actually have a set of, I don't know, at least 20, maybe 30 grippers that go from about 100 pounds up to 230 pounds or so. And they're only used for Nationals. Now, that poundage rating, I just want to say that's using something called an RGC that measures the strength of the gripper by applying force to the end of the handle. So what it does is allows us to pair grippers of all different companies against one another, so that whether they're using like 1, 2, and 3 numbering systems, 100, 200, 300 numbering systems, or if they're using like Super Elite, Grand Elite, Elite, you know, types of systems, no matter what it is, we can compare those strength level grippers with twice. So we have, you know, the ratings are from 100 to 230 or something like that. And they're only used for Nationals up to this point. So you're squeezing the same grippers every single year. Okay. So it's really cool.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jed.
Yeah. So that's the first event. The second event is the two-hand pinch on an adjustable pinching device called the Euro.
Yep.
We've used the same adjustable pinch devices since 2014. And so that way the results are very easily comparable from one contest to the next. Now, this year it's going to be a little bit different because, from what I understand, we're going to be using the calibrated competition plates from Rogue. So that changed the mechanics of the lift quite a bit. So it's not going to be as accurate of a comparison from one year to the next this year, but at least you're dealing with the same plates and the surfaces are going the same.
Okay.
So that's the second event, because friction is very important in grip. So that's why we've kind of used the same implements every year. The third event is double overhand axle deadlift using the Ironmind axle.
Yep.
And, you know, that's a staple. That's been at the Nationals competition since, man, you're going back to 2006, I think, 2007.
Hey, so, Jed, let me ask you, because I don't know anymore. What is the record now on that lift?
I want to say that the record is – it's up over 500 pounds. Like the NAGS recognized number is 501, 502. There's an Ironmind record that's higher than that, but it was done in a contest that wasn't sanctioned by NAGS.
Gotcha.
So not recognized in our group. Or not in our group, but in our organization. But either way, that was Mike Burke that did that.
Mike Burke, yep.
Absolute monster.
Let me, I don't want mean to interrupt you, but I want to just, because you're on something right now, we know that's very, very popular no matter who you are. If someone wants to get very proficient with that, and I mean, it's going to be the same thing that I would probably say, but I want to hear you because this is your forte. You want to get good with an Apollon axle, all right? Best thing to do is usually to train the axle, let's just talk about a beginner or intermediate that wants to get in this and maybe someday go to the same meet that Jed Johnson's in, all right? What is it you would say if there was one movement, two movements to get that thing started besides the bar? What would you say, brother?
Well, the absolute best training method is going to be to own
the
okay? If you can't get your hands on the axle or if it's not in your budget, then you can make your own axle out of simply, you know, a thick bar from the scrapyard.
Yep.
The problem is the size isn't always going to match up perfectly. And if you have a smaller pipe than what the axle is, it's going to be a lot easier. So it could still be quite shocking when you move on to the Ironmind axle. But that's probably the
best way.
Second or third best way.
Yep.
And then, you know, other companies make axles and they're much cheaper. Really, the materials are not that expensive to produce an axle. I know this from working with a couple individuals who make equipment. The problem with the Ironmind axles, they actually do some machining to it, I guess.
Yeah.
And you know, so it's a little bit more complex, and there's always markups involved with equipment and stuff like that. I don't know really much about that. I just know about the materials and stuff. You can make your own. If you have like a welder, you could make your own. The thing you have to understand is that any, you know, the way that you perform on one axle, no matter what axle it is, whether it's from Ironmind or another company, there's always going to be variation from one to another.
Sure.
So, you know, you just have to take that into consideration. I mean, I have an Ironmind axle, and I've gotten up to 423 pounds on it in my training and then went and missed 396 at competition. So I think there were more variables in there than just the surface of the axle.
Yep.
But, you know, variation is definitely real, whether it's grippers, pinch devices, axles, all that stuff.
Absolutely. So
it's just something to be aware of.
Yeah. Okay. So the fourth modality is what?
Generally, there's a wrist event at Nationals. There isn't one this year. It goes right to the medley, which the medley this year is, off the top of my head, dude, I think it's 10 items. And you have to lift them or load them in 60 seconds.
Wow.
So the last couple years, it's been 12 items in 60 seconds. But some of those items are kind of like they haven't grown in popularity as much as some of the other items that are out there in grip. So some of those were changed. But the way that they're doing it this year is pretty interesting. So let's say you have an anvil, right?
Yeah.
There's like a light anvil, there's like a medium anvil, and then there's a heavy anvil.
Okay.
So there's a light, medium, and heavy for all of the items in the medley. So if you get the heavy, then you're going to get more points than if you get the medium or the light.
Sure. But at least it gives everybody a shot to pull something by the horn, you know? So I don't know. It's good stuff. Okay, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, so, you know, the fact that there's only four events this year is going to make strategy very important. It's going to be extremely important to make wise jumps. You know, it's going to be important to get on the board. If you zero out at a comp, there's no way you can win. The only way that you can possibly win if you zero out is if everybody else that's above you zeros out, and it almost never happens.
Yeah.
You rarely get people that zero out. Honestly, the best policy is to get on the board with even just a token lift. You don't want to take chances, especially at Nationals, because, I mean, these guys, you know, are the equivalent of professionals. You know,
sure.
They've spent more time doing it than anybody else in the world. So, you know, people...
You know what I want to ask you, too? I mean, for anybody that's really interested in this stuff, and we'll get you back on very shortly after to find out how you did. You know, we talked about Mike Burke, but any big names that you know of that are going to be participating in it besides yourself?
Oh yeah. Now I don't know if everybody will know these names, but in the world of grip sport, these are some big names. You've got Gil Goodman, who over the last 2-3 years has climbed to the top of the ranks very, very quickly. He's got enormous hands on a smaller frame. He's in the 93 kilo class, which equivalents to about 205 pounds, but his hands are roughly the same size as mine. I'm in the 120 plus class. I'm weighing in. I was 253.5 this morning.
Okay.
So, you know, it makes a huge difference. Hand size, I think, is the biggest factor in grip.
Without a doubt.
When I used to run nationals, I used to divide the groups by hand size. Mm-hmm. But I would say around like 2011 or 2012, they adapted body weight classes over the hand size classes. So, you know, that was the popular decision. So that's what we went with, and I've gone on to support it. You know, it does make things more fair. You don't want a 150-pound dude going up against a 350-pound dude as a strongman competitor.
Yeah. Yep.
So, the exceptions to the rule would be like a Gil or a Cody Burns.
Okay.
An Andrew Durniant, because they have the large hands for a heavier weight class.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if Cody's going. I haven't seen his name put up there, but he's a phenomenal grip athlete. Mm-hmm. Andrew Durniant, like I said, he's got some different goals this year, so he won't be there. But he's, again, very phenomenal. Another guy that is going to have a great chance of finishing well at this competition is Aaron Corcoran. He's from Arizona. He's been involved in grip since at least 2007, maybe longer. That's when I first became aware of him. And you're talking about somebody who's closed number four grippers with a parallel set. So he's just never been to nationals before. So it's going to be very interesting. We also have some other lifters in the men's category that are brand new to grip that are going to be very exciting to watch. And one of those guys is a guy by the name of Tanner Merkel.
Okay.
And he's from Texas. The interesting thing about Tanner and also about Gil is that these guys came from a background of climbing, like you're, mm-hmm. you know, scaling the sides of rock faces and stuff like that.
Yep.
So that brings a very interesting skill set along with it. And these guys have proven to be very, very good at thick bar lifts.
Okay.
So I think Tanner has lifted, if not the absolute most, he's like two or three on the 2.5-inch Fat Bastard Crusher, which is a rolling handle device similar to the Rolling Thunder, only it's got better action and it's made out of actual steel.
Okay.
So he's going to you know, have a very good chance at doing well at this competition. I don't know how he is on the axle, and I'm not sure what he can do on the two-hand pinch, because I haven't seen a lot from him with that implement. So those are going to be some things to watch, and I don't know what he can do on grippers either. So it's not that I doubt his ability. I just don't know what he can do with those modalities.
Yep.
There's also a guy, Phil Kashaba. He's a brand new guy. I'd never heard of him before this year until he ended up buying something from me from my website, and then I saw him at the competition that Gil and Maria held earlier this year, and he did very, very well. He's up over 200 pounds on the adjustable pinch. He's closed nearly 180 pound rated grippers. I don't know how he is on thick bar and, like, you know, odd object medley type stuff, but he's going to be very interesting to watch. So right there, that's like, you know, that could be top five in an overall finish. Now, in past years at nationals, we've run, I say we. I haven't really been involved in these contests, but, you know, as a group, we've had weight classes and an overall winner.
Okay.
For quite some time, the overall winner would qualify for the Mighty Mitts competition at the Arnold Classic, which is now kind of defunct. It hasn't taken place in a few years.
Yep.
So, you know, we've always had it's been the absolute champion. So Andrew Durniant took that in 2012 and 2013. I took it in 2014, 15, and 16.
Nice.
So this year, I don't know if we're doing that. I heard something about there being an overall winner based on formula. So I believe that's going to be how the overall winner is going to be factored this year. So that's a little bit different too. But, okay. You know, the you know, in the past, that overall winner was designed to go to Mighty Mitts. So it made sense to not really take into consideration the body weight, because most of the people at Mighty Mitts were always, you know, 250 pounds or more.
Sure, sure.
You know, it wasn't as important of a thing to look at. This year with the body weight category, hey, it kind of throws in another factor into the equation. So sure. It's going to be a very interesting nationals this year. Nice. I'm very excited about it. I'm just not pumped about the drive. That's the only thing.
Yeah, well, you know, once you get there, that'll all wear off too. You know what I mean? That's a good thing. Hey, you know, I don't know. I know people, friends of mine have been in Nashville. They love it. You know, as I have talked about on the show, and myself included, mass exodus out of New York State, believe me, and they're all over the place. I've got friends, Texas, the Carolinas, now they're all talking about there. Very interesting, and I know you said you've never been there. I mean, I can't speak for you, but from what I've heard from my friends is it's a beautiful place, man. So I'm sure you're going to have a great time, and obviously we're rooting for you here. You got anything else with that, or do we want to move right into this big bench press we're going to get into now?
I'd love to be able to tell people to check out the live stream. A lot of people have asked whether there's going to be a live stream, and I don't know if there will be or not.
Okay.
There has been a couple times where I live streamed it for Andrew Derniat in the past.
Okay.
I don't know what the service is going to be like at this gym or anything. And I'm just I don't know. So I'll probably put the information out there. You know what I mean? But I don't know. That's about it.
Yeah. Well, I'll extend this to you too. It's up to you. Any film you want to put up on Etched, you're more than welcome to do it, my friend. You know, promote the hell out of for next year and the athletes there. If you're interested, it's all yours. You know,
okay.
If there's anything I can help you with, you know how to get a hold of me. All right, we're going to talk about a big favorite that's been around, it seems like, for a long, long time. You know, from the days of Doug Hepburn and all the greats out there with the bench press, the flat bench press. There's tons of information on it. But I noticed on Facebook, Jed was talking about wanting to nail a 405 flat bench, which, number one, I was watching him train yesterday, and it's really nice to see a guy that keeps his back flat and he's pushing this thing correctly. Because, look, I just think so many things now have been bastardized in strength training that a lot of times when somebody will say something like that, I don't even read it anymore. But Jed's been with me a long time here now, and he's a straight-up guy. And this is real interesting, Jed. First, before we get into the nitty-gritty here, why the bench press? What got you fired up to start thinking this way?
Well, in I think it was 2014, I actually put a good push on to increase my bench. I did a strength competition at a local gym here, and one of my longtime friends, his name's Eli Thomas. I've trained with him off and on since around 2001 or 2002.
Okay.
This is a kid that I knew when he was like 17 in high school, and now he's, you know, 30 something, and he outweighs me by, I don't know, at least 50 pounds. He's way stronger. So, you know, it's one of those things where I taught him everything he knows, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And,
so, you know, he had a much bigger bench than me, and we kind of put together a little Facebook group, and we were networking about our bench press watts and stuff like that. This was 2014, I'm pretty sure. And then in 2015, man, I started getting these extreme shoulder pains and pectoralis tie-in pains, and I was like, man, I can't do this bench anymore. It's not working out. So all of 2016, all I did was dumbbell bench because that didn't hurt my shoulders. So I was at a gym like once a week where they had 150 pound dumbbells, and back in the day I used to be able to do 150 pounds dumbbells for 10 reps. So initially I wanted to make that my goal. Well, then it happened that some stuff happened and I was no longer a member of that gym. So I kind of cut that goal out. And along the way, I ended up realizing that I had totally screwed up my bench press form. Yep. I had gotten into some really bad habits where I was not setting my shoulders, my shoulder blades and everything. My torso basically wasn't set up properly. And I think what I was doing was causing myself a lot of trauma in the shoulders because of my bad technique. So as it turns out, the reason that I was feeling so good on the dumbbell bench press was because I was actually doing that correctly. It was built into my technique. It was built into everything, you know, so deeply that I was able to do the right technique and the shoulder pain went away. And now this year, I think two or three times now, I've worked on bench press and I surprised myself. I was able to get 225 for 20 reps.
Nice.
Like the NFL combine.
Yeah, combine. Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of got me pumped. You know, the fact that my shoulders aren't hurting anymore got me pumped. And, you know, here yesterday, I did 275 for 10.
Yep.
And I know that, like, one rep max calculators aren't perfect and all that stuff, but I put my information in, and it turns out that a 275 for 10 equates to 365 for 20 equates to 364. So you can probably look there. I'm probably around, like, 355 or something like that for a touch-and-go bench press.
Nice.
So, you know, I have done 405, I think, twice in my life. One of those was a clean touch-and-go bench press. Like,
nice.
Nothing could have been said about it. You know, there was no, you know, negatives. My butt came up on the other one. But this was all back in, like, 2002 to 2004. And I really haven't worked on it since then because at that point, that's when I got into strongman.
Yep.
And I actually quit benching back then.
Yep.
So I really haven't worked it hard since 2014. Prior to that, it was about 10 years before that. And I would really just like to be able to have on video one attempt where I could get 405 for a good solid rep.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Tell everybody, though, now, has this become, obviously, we know you're going into nationals this week and everything. Are you making the flat bench? Is that going to be more or less like the center of your training for a little while till you hit it? If not, how are you working that in with all the stuff you like to do? And then thirdly, tell everybody how you're mixing it up. Are you doing sets of singles one day, maybe sets of five? How are you getting this all constructed so when you're ready to go for that massive single, you feel you're going to be prepared to just crush it? So take your time, take it away, brother.
Well, that's a great question. Honestly, I haven't mapped out any training programs just yet.
Yep.
For regimen I'm gonna go into. And currently, I've been doing my bench press work on Monday mornings with a client of mine because he's the only guy I have in the group right now. So I've been working out with him so that he has somebody to work with. And we're actually getting another client for that session. So I don't think I'm going to actually be able to do those morning sessions anymore for a while.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to find another spot to put my bench press work. Before I was doing the morning bench workouts, I would try and get those in Monday nights after my clients leave.
Yep.
For the afternoon sessions. Well, it just turns out that I have a lot of clients right now in the afternoon, so that would put my workout at like 6 o'clock.
Yeah, it's
really
tough.
I really don't like 6 o'clock is a great time to train, but I don't like cutting into my family time with my training. So I'm just not sure. I work from home and my gym's right here, so I could easily cut out an hour to go down and work on bench and you know, and just focus on it and not do grip during that session like I normally would.
Yep.
So there's ways around it. As far as – sorry about that. I just dropped
That's
my
all right.
phone.
No problem.
So as far as, you know, the training day, that's still up in the air. But for the training drills that I like to do, you know, I really like floor press. I felt like I got a lot of power out of the floor press when I was doing that. in 2014. That was one of the things that I did on a regular basis. And that was also something that the guys that I was networking with were doing for press with chains on the bar. I actually also like band resisted bench press.
Okay.
Both for, I don't really like speed work as, you know, the bench press that I've, where when I've seen people do speed work on bench press with bands, they're both lowering it very quickly and pushing it up very quickly. Right. I don't like that because I feel like there's a increased risk for the bar to get out of track. And if, and if that happens, then it, it brings about risks for injury. So when I work, I control it on the way down, and then I just explode really, really hard off the bottom. The other one that I'll do is I'll go really heavy band tension and to work a lockout strength. I'll also sometimes do like partials out of a off of pins. So I like that kind of stuff. You know, it's very I don't know if you want to call it dinosaur, you know, training methods or whatever. It's a little, you know, little elements of West Side, elements of dinosaur. You know, it's a little bit of everything, but I'm not, you know, it's not decided yet. It's still up in the air a little bit. So, you know, that's something that probably the next time we talk, I could probably give an update on what they're doing. I can tell you the one thing that I would do, and this is what I used to do back in the day, is I'd go in there, warm up, and I'd see how much weight I could bench. Every single workout, every single bench workout, and that gets me nowhere.
Right, it'll fry you quick. I'll tell you something I've been doing, and you know, you made reference to chains. When I went to Iceland those two times for the Húsafell, I noticed one thing, and as everyone knows, you can get hurt very easily with that stuff. I'll tell you what it was. I noticed when you'd go to grab the Húsafell, if you let any tension off it, it would try to pull forward on you, like anything heavy, all right? You're talking 418 pounds. But I'm going to tell you something I noticed, and I don't know if anybody else did because I haven't talked to any about this. It always felt when it wound up pull, you'd get a lot of pull through the pec insertion with the shoulder and all that. Now, that's a real dangerous thing, all right, because you don't want to tear a pec. So I said, oh, I'm going to do stuff where I'm going to just concentrate on one-sided training, all right? So everybody knows, I haven't sent any pictures of it, but on one side of my garage, there's 6x6s literally lagged right through the frost line and then lagged right into the garage wall. You'd have to hit this thing with a cannonball to disintegrate it. It's I hang the stones there, everything, but that's another time. Well, my buddy's an electrician, and they make these cables that are coated in rubber. Picture a Y. That would be the letter Y. It comes down straight. This all hangs from big toe chains all locked together, and it has a hole in each of the Ys. And what you can do is you can put a dumbbell handle through it. So it suspends over you just about on top of you. So if you get caught, what do, folks? You let it go and you crawl out from under it. You're not going to get killed. Well, what I found with this, Jed, because I've been doing a ton of them with all the stone lifting and stuff I'm doing right now, my friggin' pecs and front delts and everything look unbelievable. And I can sit there and load that thing and not worry about anything. And for anybody that's going to do anything strenuous like a stone lifter or a sandbag, and you ever feel any type of that pulling or you don't even feel it, I would definitely suggest suspending something that is very safe, hanging a dumbbell and do it because, you know, I'm doing this for specificity, but on the other hand, too, I'm also building a ton of mass and a lot of strength right in that insertion. And we all know when the insertions are strong, the ligaments and tendons are strong, the bone is strong, and the musculature is, the chances of getting hurt are very, very slim. That's the main thing I want to say about that. And, you know, I'm with you with all the stuff with the holds and all that. Power rack, whatever you want to do, whether you're using chains, bands, combinations of both, there's nothing better than using rod to rod for holds. Whatever you want to do, start it at the top, start working it down, start putting plywood under you, whatever. But that's a whole nother show, obviously, and I know when we get back after the Nationals and what you've been doing, it'll be even more into line what we're talking about here. But All right, what's the goal of hitting 405, barring any BS coming into your life?
Like the deadline?
Yeah, what do you want to kind of do?
I just want to get it on film. I would say, yep. You know, if I'm at 355 or so, you know, yep. That puts me at a 50-pound deficit from where I want to be.
Yep.
And it's been so long since I trained it. I don't even know how long it would take me to reach that goal. I do appreciate that you brought up the suspension stuff because I'd imagine a lot of these workouts I'm going to be all by myself.
Yeah,
and,
God, yeah.
I actually hurt myself pretty bad in 2007 or 2008 doing bench press. Yep. I was using a foam roller as kind of like a, you know, as the like a three board press.
Sure.
And I don't know if I failed and popped something in my chest or if yep. I popped something in my chest and because of that I failed.
Yep.
But anyway, the bar, you know, collapsed on me and it was trapped on the giant foam roller and I hadn't adjusted the pins to the proper height. So I was unable to get out of that.
Yep.
I was screwed.
Yep.
So I had to roll, I think it was like 365 pounds. I had to roll down the length of the foam roller. I actually felt it fall off the foam roller and onto some kind of organ that's on my
yep.
left side of my belly.
Yep.
And then finally I was able to get it down to like my hip flexors and it,
yep.
and that was low enough for it to hit the pins.
Yep.
So it was scary. So I've got some very good toe straps in my gym and I've got extra pins so I could probably utilize those for safety mechanisms in some way.
Without a doubt.
Yep. Yeah.
I'll tell you something else too, Jed. I've got right now besides the short pins that go into your power rack, I've got a total of six of the long rods with the pins. And I'll tell you why. I can do some stuff with different forms of squatting I'm doing. I've talked about this. I can do it with anything. I'll give everybody a little tip, and I'm going to be filming some of this stuff. You're going to be like, what? When I do the tri-quad dead stop squat courtesy of our good friend John McKean, and it's got to be right against either the back, wherever you're squatting from, but it's got to be against the pillars, the post of the 4x4. And I do a thing where I'll do a bottom position one like that, so that for me would be either 11 or 12 pin where you're toasted, where you got to barely, you got to crawl under it, and try to get as adjusted as you can to come up with that thing on your back. Now, here's the thing, and I'll make it quick because I want this to be all about the bench. But when we're talking about safety and pins and rods and things that hang and hold, let me tell you something. I've got two bars going doing two different sets versions of squats. This is one of the most intense, sick things you've ever seen in your life. And I'm going to tell everybody, I don't need a spotter. I don't need anything. All I need are those rods through the full length or the full width of the rack pinned in the back, folks. And all I got to do is push off on my thighs, and I can do one set at one style of weight. I can go up another 4 inches, have another set pinned mm-hmm. against the other set. It's really incredible stuff. But you know what it is, Jed, too? And you know training alone, it's dangerous if you don't have the equipment. I'll tell you right now, you can get so goddamn creative, you can build stuff that just rocks people when they see it. It's like, where did you come up with that idea? Well, you know what? Invention is really the necessity of life. Go ahead and take it, brother.
Yeah, that's a good point because, you know, I have two really good friends that are able to build a lot of stuff. And also having a guy that I work with that has built me stuff before, too. So if there becomes a necessity for some kind of device that I need, I know I can call on them to put something together. So, I mean, those friends are invaluable.
Priceless.
I
yep.
appreciate them Priceless. So much. So, yep. yeah, I'm interested in it for sure. I'm really excited about it. It's something I haven't worked on for a while. I won't stop doing grip by any means, but I'm going to take a little emphasis off of, like, overhead press because that's the thing I've been working on mainly for, like, the last 3 years.
Yep.
So it's going to be like a breath of fresh air because I haven't worked on this in so long.
You need that, brother, because if you don't get that, you get stale. I don't care how long you've been doing it and how good you are. You need diversions, man, and hitting a four – well, look, You come in and crush a 355, that's you got to look at this, all the exaggeration we see. How many people do you think are really walking around with even a 250-pound bench press? And I'm talking the correct way, not being all friggin' mummied up and this and that. And second of all, you know you hit the 355, you know damn well you're going for 405 because it's going to inspire the shit out of you, man. And you're going to have more things to tell people. You're going to have more things to offer people. It's an awesome thing. Anything else you got, brother?
Man.
I know we went over a lot of stuff, but you know what I mean.
No, man. I'm ready for nationals, ready to get this training cycle underway for the bench.
Yep.
Put some finishing touches on some workouts. If anybody's interested in checking out TGA, thegripauthority.com. I've got some good stuff going up there. That's about it, man. As always, it's all about having a good time training, working with people, and family for me, bro. So
I'm with you, man. Good friends. Can stay loyal to those that are loyal to you, man, and learn to treat people with respect and stop like treating people like they're garbage, man, because people aren't, and people don't like to be mistreated like that. And you and I have talked offline about things I'm not bringing up, obviously, but we know. I'll tell you right now, you're not going to be very successful in life if you just don't treat people well. And the ones that aren't good to you, you need to get them out of your life. I had a gentleman that used to be on this show tell me I said that too many times. I'll tell you what, Jed, you can never be reminded enough of that you're better than that and not let people do that to you. Give out any information, anything else you want to put out, brother. I'll give mine out and hang on the line, and we'll get set up for, believe it or not, June. Go ahead. Take it away.
Yeah, buddy. Once again, I thank you for having me on the show, man. I invite everybody to check out my main website, dieselcrew.com. That's my blog. And also, thegripauthority.com is my instructional website. I'm like, look, if you want to build a strong grip, you won't find a better website than this. You can join for 30 days for $1, brother.
Wow.
And you make the decision whether or not it's worth it. I just had some join over the weekend. They sent me their top three goals. One of them was to finally bend a blue nail. They watched one video on my website, and they were able to accomplish that goal. So awesome. the whole investment was $1.
Yes.
So no matter what the goal is, I guarantee you if it's either there on the site already, or if you write me an email and say, hey, I can't find anything on, then I will add it because all my content is generated by the actual members, the users of the site. Other than that, man, check out my YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/Jed Johnson, JEDDJOHNSON. And there's always new stuff going up on the YouTube, but that's about it, man. Once again, I appreciate being a part of the family, and I hope everybody understands what kind of a resource that you're putting out, what kind of a good person you are, how nice it is to allow people to come on here and talk about stuff, give them exposure. And if they don't understand the value to that, Eric, then there's this thing called the gift of goodbye. That's the gift to give them, brother.
Yeah.
So, If I ever become a dick and I need the gift of goodbye, then you give me that gift, brother, because
I don't see that happening, and you've been very good to me offline too. You know something, Jed, I'll say then, have 10 good people and 50, all right? And that's a thing that I think people got to realize. Sometimes not everybody has your best interest at heart. And, you know, coming from a big Italian family, and they'll tell you, and I'm sure you know many, loyalty is a big thing for me. That's what we were taught, my mom and dad taught, especially my dad. And now that, unfortunately, my dad is no longer in a physical sense, boy, oh boy, all those things really make sense to me now, especially being a businessman and having two businesses. So I thank you definitely for your support and your kind words. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Go out and purchase the Winner's Circle, 12 modules, and you get a 13th one for free called The Stewards of Strength. If you've heard me talk about that on the show, it's all about what physical culture is. And I'm waiting to hear back from Bill Hinburn. We're going to do a massive show on physical culture, and he's going to start it right from the early 1900s, and I believe when we talked, we were going to start it right from like 1902. So that would be very interesting, at best, I mean. Go out and check out that product, and like I said, we've got four people right now that will give you an hour of their time. Obviously, if you sign up, there's nothing, I mean, there's plenty of stuff out there, but you're going to get, like we talked about today, real world success in a place that is not mainstreamed. It's thought out. It's been years and years of work here and failure and compromise. Folks, that's what it's all about. So check that all out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com, also MotivationMuscle.com/category/podcast. Next time Jed is on, we'll find out how many shows he's done with me, but there's at least a dozen minimum out there. And with over 680 shows, this place is just on fire. And by the way, I didn't say it, but we already broke last month's records for downloads. This is 3 months in a row, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why when I ask for donations, because of how tight we are right now and the money's almost out, anything you can give would be appreciated. Because as Jed and I were talking, let's face it, you're not going to, you know, look what he's giving out for a dollar. All right. And I always said, I'm not going to charge for this show. I don't even know what I could charge for this show if I ended up having to do that because we needed money. And I never want to do that. That's not my point at all with this. I think information is a great way. But we need people to come in here, buy the winner's circle. If you'd like to donate, my PayPal account is FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. And before, I wouldn't do this, but I'll tell you right now, it's all over the place. And you know what? I've got close to 30,000. We're getting close to downloads in over 2 years, man. That's phenomenal. A dollar, a cup of coffee. That's all I'm asking for. If you don't want to give, that's okay, too. Keep listening. We still want you. So on PayPal, Fiorello Barbell, NICAP.RR.com. And if you're truly part of it, I hope you are. Please give. Also, too, go out to Apple or Stitcher and give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten, and we appreciate that. AHA, that's the directory where Motivation Muscle is. You can get us on your car radio 24/7, and why not? It's the best stuff out there. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Jed and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. Also, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, 5 words can change their life. Don't forget that. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile for that day. You never know what people are going through, and I'm telling you right now, I know people say, well, that's so cliche. It's not cliche, because being nice to people doesn't take a hell of a lot of energy, folks. And when the guys and girls like us that are on here that profess the strength we've got and show it, for Christ's sake, you can't be nice to somebody. I don't know. There's something wrong with you if you can't. I don't care what you tell me. Also, too, one of the best things, man, if you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, press it, squat it, pull it, if you're going to take stones and turn them into dust, just do it all, man. Do it. Also, too, as the great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to us from the beginning, when I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. That will be for the next 30 years, my friend. Also, Frank Klein, my greatest business professor in college. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. He drummed that into my head. Be a leader, not a follower. My chiropractor, John Ridge, exemplary guy. He'd walk every patient to the door no matter how busy he was, and he'd say to him, keep smiling. I dare you say that to yourself. Best, worst day or whatever, you will put a smile on your face. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming, because we're not going to knock on your door. We'll put our foot through it. Join the family. Join the revolution. I promise you, 30 years like you've never seen. This show's only going to grow bigger and bigger. And as I've told Jed and everybody, eventually It will not only be a national radio show, we're going to have live call-ins. So just think a day of Jed and I with a live call-in, say, for even 15 or 20 minutes. It's going to be like you're sitting right at the table with the two of us, and that will be dynamite. Also, Les Brown said you all have greatness. We'll take it two steps further. We got your back, and we believe in you, and not many people say that anymore. We believe that you are extraordinary, not ordinary, and that's the way it is. Jed, it's always an honor to have you on. Talk about deep stuff, man, and things that people can gravitate to and become great off of, and I thank you for everything, my friend.
You are welcome, and I thank you right back, buddy.
Well, that's good, because I'll tell you right now, I enjoy that, and there's nothing like working with people that are just A1 top-notch, and that's what we got here. So, everybody, we'll have Jed on next month, but for now, today's Tuesday. You've got 5 more days to be great, and you got the rest of your life. Go out and do it, I'm telling you right now. So, for Jed Johnson, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon, ladies and gents, and have a great week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.